Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom. As my Hebrew brothers and sisters would say, I greet you all in the name of Yahawshai, in whom the word called Jesus the Christ. Peace and blessings be upon you all, the chosen seed of the house of Israel, and likewise the heathens, meaning the other nations of the earth. For those out there who are preaching that the heathens will not make it, they will. They are just levels. Because when you make it into the kingdom, you just don't get the full package or the full packages. There are levels, you know, there are levels to rewards. There are levels to power, to obtain power. There are levels to having access to riches and wealth in the kingdom. You know, some will be in the kingdom, but they'll be slaves to the chosen seed. And likewise, we'll have our own people too, still slaves to their own people. It's deep. I don't want to go into that, but I'll simplify this. The heathens will make it. For those that actually confess that, yes, the Messiah, the real Messiah, the brother, according to Revelation, the same Messiah of the Bible, they confess that, yes, he is their Lord and their personal Savior. He is the one that the Heavenly Father sent to die for their sins. I mean, not for their sins, though he died for the sins of his people. But they acknowledge that he came and died for the sins of his people. But they can actually eat the breadcrumbs. They can make it into the kingdom. And again, this is just the truth. Let us not interrogate our minds if this guy is telling the truth. Let us not be bitter about it. The heathens know what they did to the chosen seed, to the Israelites, as all nations of the earth have partook in the ultimate destruction of my people. All nations, it's a collective thing. But they'll make it. They'll make it if they repent. This is Truth Radio once again, TRWTH Radio. We are live and direct in the studio. Yes, we are live and direct. For those who are not new to this station, we go live every Shabbat, Lord's willing. You know, 1:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Central Standard Time, Chicago time. We go live every Shabbat. And for those who are wondering, who are pondering, what is this person's name? Who is the broadcaster's name? Well, I go by Adewale, and he will be your preacher and your teacher. Lord's willing, every Shabbat. For those who are just tuning in for the first time, welcome to this platform. Welcome to this great platform. We just launched this platform last year, so we knew. But we are coming. Welcome. Welcome and enjoy the resources that you have available for you guys. You know, we take pride in what we do. And you guys are very welcome. We do not discriminate, but we will tell the truth. You know, and you guys make this to happen. Every one of you guys are very important. Again, the resources are available for you guys. You know, read the scriptures, as we have a few blogs and articles. If you guys want to donate to this platform, you guys are more than likely to. You know, we are not affiliated with nobody. No rich man, no political, you know, parties, no billionaires out here. You know, not the cabals, not the common man like you and I, not these, you know, networks, these media networks. We're not affiliated with them, and they do not have any partnership, any, you know, any say to this station, to this online internet radio station. You know, this is strictly and solely for you guys. We are independently owned station. No one owns us. No one. We're just here to what? To bring out the message. In every aspect of life. Name it. Agriculture. Real estate. Economics. Transportation. Religion. Now, I'll be very skeptical when I use the word religion, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Even though the Heavenly Father himself did not give us religion, but rather commandments. But I'll take that. And so on and so forth. Politics, name it. This is Adewale. Welcome for the newcomers out there. You know, again, this is yours. This is your platform. Remember, this platform is for the people, of the people, for the people, and by the people. It's for the masses. It's for the masses. You guys have access to this platform whenever you want to. And if you want to reach out to us, there's the email, truthradio@gmail.com. It's spelled T-R-W-T-H radio@gmail.com. We're also live and direct as I'm speaking. We are live and direct. This is not pre-record session. But the best way to reach out to us is through the app. It's very effective. Just download the app and it's self-explanatory. You know, the app right now is available in both Google Store and Apple Store. And that's right, Truth Radio, T-R-W-T-H Radio. Once again, Shabbat Shalom to the 12 tribes of Israel and to the rest of mankind. Peace and blessings, brothers and sisters. Peace and blessings, brothers and sisters. This is Adewale. But before we proceed further, you know how we do it. Let's just say a quick prayer to the Heavenly Father in Christ before we start today's session. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We glorify your holy name. We bless you. We honor you. We adore you. We thank you for the things that you've done in the past, for the things that you're doing right now, for the things that you're going to do in the future. We thank you for the grace and mercy bestowed upon us through your Son, Yahusha, whom the Word called Jesus the Christ, as he died a little bit over 2,000 years ago. But his Spirit is still with us, which is the Holy Spirit, which you've given him, or which you've gave him as he first gave his disciples or the apostles. As they tarry, he here and wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit from the what? From above. And the Spirit today still exists. It is not a it. The Spirit is also the Spirit of truth, the Comforter. And the Spirit is a masculine spirit. He, him, we thank you. We thank you for the listeners out there. For Father, I don't know what they're going through, but you know that you help them. Whatever that they're going through, whatever prayers that they've prayed to you, Father, and your Son, that Father, that you listen to your people. And with the due mercy in Christ and grace, that Father, that you bestow our heart desire according to your will in the riches and glory in Christ. Help us in our desperate times of need, as we ought to come desperately or boldly to obtain grace in our desperate times of need. But Father, as we have boldly come into your presence in our desperate times of need that, Father, we need you more than before, more than ever. For we're asking for divine protection. We're asking that you provide for our daily needs, that you protect our children, that you continually to give us that wisdom abundantly, to bestow wisdom, knowledge, and understanding upon us, to be able to understand your word in spirit and in truth. I thank you, Father, and I also want to pray on behalf of my people. First, then to the rest of mankind, that Father, for we are all wanderers in this wandering world that we live in, as we are more confused as ever before, that Father, the Father of grace, the Father of mercy, that you actually return back, that you actually return us back to you, to give us your spirit, to send pastors, apostles, common men, to be able to bring out your word, to return back to you, Father. For we need you for those who are lost out there, that Father, that you bring them back to you. For we are not worthy. For we are not worthy to be called your children. But Father, look upon that cross and be gracious towards us, Father, in your Son's name. Be gracious towards us, Father, for we don't deserve it. For we are a rebellious nation. We are stiff-necked people. Help us, Father. Bring us closer to you. Let your spirit be manifested in our hearts. Let us know your laws, your commandments, your statutes, your ordinances, your judgments, and do them. Please, don't let us perish. But bring us back to you. Let us know you, Father. And for those out there who are handicapped, one fashion or the other, one way or the other, one form or the other, that Father, that you restore back what they lost. If it's their sight, regain back their sight. It is their sound of hearing, that you regain back their sound. Help us, Father. And for those who are looking for their helpmate, that Father, that you give them their helpmate in due time. We thank you, Father. All praises to the Most High in Christ. Amen. Okie dokie. Now let's begin into today's Shabbat class. As for those who tune in last Shabbat, or actually listen to the podcast, you know, we ended last class Give me 1 minute, guys. 1 minute. So, for those who actually tune in, pardon me for that. You know, we talked about thou shalt not be a false witness against thy neighbor. So we just wrapped up that commandment. Thou shalt not be a false witness against thy neighbor. And now we are going to talk about, I believe, the last commandment. of the 10th Decalogue, the 10 core essential principles that guides the Israelites to be a righteous and disciplined nation, which the nations of the world can actually benefit, can actually take that wisdom to govern themselves. So these are the 10 Decalogues, the 10 sayings by the Heavenly Father himself. So we have wrapped up that commandment, and we will begin the last one, I believe, which is thou shalt not covet. Now, let me bring out that scripture, the tenth commandment, or the Decalogue, or the tenth saying, according to Exodus, the 20th chapter, I believe verse 14. Let me get that real quick. Pardon me, verse 17. So Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male and female servants, those that work for him. His ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I'll repeat that again. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now, thou shalt not covet. Now, let us understand, or let us bring out the understanding, the meaning of the word covet, according to the Hebrews perspective, which is the word chamad, a primitive root to delight in, greatly beloved. Great delight. Goodly, lost, pleasant thing, or precious thing. I'll repeat that again. To covet, or the word covet, is in Hebrew word chamad, a primitive root which is to delight in, either beauty, greatly beloved, great delight, desire, goodly, lost, pleasant thing, or precious thing. Now, the key to understanding this commandment is in the definition of the word covet. And two different Hebrew words are used in these passages that condemns coveting. Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 17, and Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, verse 21. Now, both mean to lust after, or to long for a great desire. Both mean to lust after, or to long for with great desire. Now, since the commandments are given as you shall not. You shall not do this. You shall not do that. The desire in this case is for something that is not the property of the owner and not rightfully is to long after, meaning to covet, to greatly desire, to lust after. In this commandment, the Israelites are told not to lust after their neighbor's possessions. You know, and it's not just, you know, according to the commandment, you know, your neighbor's wife, your ox or donkey, but anything that belongs to your neighbor, anything, either it's, you know, a house, a land, you know, animals or people in his life, his wife or servants, you know, whoever. The Israelites were just told not to desire, long for, or to set their hearts on anything that belongs to anyone else, which is understandable. It's not yours. Now, let us look at it this way. It says, thou shalt not covet. Meaning, thou shalt not greatly desire to lust. Now, we are going to peer coveting. How coveting and greatly desiring or lusting or taking one's, you know, one's stuff that don't belong to you. You know, and we're going to bring out examples from the scriptures. Because coveting, you know, is simply you having that thought, that great desire, you know, but that's just not enough. Even though the scripture says thou shalt not, even the act of thinking, the act of actually having this great desire, this lust, you know, before we even, you know, before our mind shapes into such, you know, we have to really cushion the mind. We have to shape the mind. You know, we have to guard that mind of ours, that pre-thought. Before it actually happens, you know, we have to eliminate it. You know, but that's just not enough because we have to actually pair it together with actions. So thoughts and actions, you know, so it goes together. I'm going somewhere now. Thoughts and actions, you know, you think about it, you lust after it, even though the scripture says not to. But what happens after you lust after it? What happens when you lust or after you lust? What happens after your lost desire? It comes with actions. What happens after that lost? When you desire something in lost, what happens after? You take actions. You know, now let's bring out a few scriptures. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 25. I read. You shall cosign the images of their gods to the fire. You shall not covet the silver and gold on them and keep it for yourself. I will repeat that again. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 25. You shall cosign the images of their gods to the fire. Let me get a better translation. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 25. Let me get a better translation. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. This is King James. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it's an abomination to the Lord thy God. Now, what did you notice in that verse? You see, taking something. What did you notice in that verse? Verse 25. It says, after the two full stop, thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is in them, nor take unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. As you can see, when you desire something, what does it lead to? Actions. That's the reason why the scripture says, that's the reason why the Lord himself, the Heavenly Father said, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared. When you have desire for something, lustful desire for something, I mean, just look at, when you have images, you know, from silver or gold, it's a precious, you know, these are precious stones that one we desire. I mean, you see gold or silver on the floor, of course. Who's not gonna pick it up? Because it's something that is highly valuable. We all desire, you know, precious stones. And that is the reason why the Heavenly Father himself told his people, don't lust after these gods made out of silver and gold, these graven images, nor take it unto thee. Now that's action, because you took it. You're taking it. You rendered action by taking the gods made with what? Silver and gold. Lest thou be snared therein. Now, this is a consequence. Once you take forth action, because we know that the Lord hates it. He said it, for it's an abomination to the Lord thy God. We'll bring out another example. This is Joshua 7, verse 21. Joshua 7, verse 21. Now, 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Now, if you clearly observe that verse, you can see that it refers to circumstances where action or actions follow the desire. And the action here is he took them. He desired, you know, the 200 shekels of silver and the wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, and he coveted them. He desired them. He coveted them. Lustful desire. Greatly desire. He desired them greatly, and he took them. This is what happens when you greatly desire something. It leads to forth action or actions. No, for example, Proverbs the 6th chapter, verse 25, which warns us about the dangers of adultery. You know, do not covet her beauty or let her captivate you with her eyes. You know, and that chapter ends with the warning that a husband never forgives a man who cuckolds him. So that adultery is a self-destructive act. The assumption is that if the man covet her beauty, he will sleep with her. This is where I'm getting into. Now, another one is Exodus, the 34th chapter, verse 24. He says, I will drive out nations from your path and enlarge your territory. No one will covet your land. And when you go up to appear before Yahweh, your God, three times a year. Now, the point is that traveling to appear before Yahweh leaves the land vulnerable. It leaves the land empty. So invaders will not invade the land, or outsiders. So it makes the land vulnerable, giving an outsider the opportunity to covet and take the land while the owner is away. So the Heavenly Father promises that the land will be safe during, you know, the owner's pilgrimage. Now, another one, Micah, the 2nd chapter, verse 1. Let me get that real quick. I believe it's Micah, the 2nd chapter, verse 1. Actually, Micah, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 to 2. Excuse me. Micah, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 to 2. Woe to those who plan iniquity and those who plot evil on their beds. At morning light, they carry it out because it is in their power to do it. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them. They defraud people of their homes. They rob them of their inheritance. Now, here, see, there is actually a completation or contemplation when it comes to evil. You know, here contemplating evil and designing stratagems go together the same way that coveting and theft do. It seems likely, therefore, that the passages cited above that do not explicitly mention taking point to an assumption in the biblical text that coveting entails acting on this emotion. Biblical coveting does not refer to a person just desiring something in the abstract, but to plan or taking concrete steps with which to acquire that object. It's a step. According to Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 17, thou shalt not covet. That is the root. When you take that root, then it leads to forth action. So it goes end to end, thoughts and action. Because when you give into that thought, it leads to fourth action. Whereas we have several of the commandments that prohibit certain actions, such as murder and theft. This is one of the commandments that address the inner person, his mind. Yahusha even made it clear in the Sermon on the Mount and throughout his teachings that God's law, the Heavenly Father's law, involves more than just our actions. Really obeying the 10 Decalogue, the 10 sayings, the 10 commandments, involves our thoughts and attitude, and likewise approaches. Even before Yahusha expanded on the laws, these 10 sayings added depth to all the commandments by drawing attention to our hearts and motives, or shall I say to our minds and motives. Coveting and all sin begins in our mind or in our hearts. As James, the first chapter, verse 15, tells us, the inner person is where sin originates. And in this case, covetousness is the forerunner of all manner of sin. Among them, you have theft, you have burglary, you got embezzlement, you got corruption, you got murder, you got jealousy, you got, you know, envy. You just got so on and so forth, just so many laws that one is breaking or that one breaks. Yahusha reiterated these very thoughts in the Sermon on the Mount when he said that lust in the heart is every bit as sinful as committing adultery, according to Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 28. You know, and this negative spirit called envy goes beyond casting a longing glance at the neighbor's new car. Because once dwelt upon that new car, envy of the neighbor's possessions can turn into feelings of resentment and hatred for the neighbor. And this happens in our daily lives, times without numbers. Whereby you see your neighbor's possessions, got all kinds of cars, and all of a sudden you just develop hatred, develop envy for no reason. We know ourselves. We pretend as if, all is well with us. You know, when we interact with our neighbors, you know, but deep inside our mind, you know, we've conceived hatred. And that's the reason why, you know, you have, you know, friends today and tomorrow they are no more. You have friends today and the next day they are no more. The hatred that you have towards your neighbor, towards your brother, because of his new car, because of his beautiful, glamorous wife, because of his, you know, standard, you know, big house, you know, because he's rich and wealthy, you know. So we build what? We build envy, which goes beyond, you know, glancing at your neighbor's new car, you know, new house, you know, his beautiful wife, and things of that nature. Or a handsome husband. Doesn't matter. And that's the reason why we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to convert us. We need the Holy Spirit, you know, to convert us. We're evil. We human beings, we are evil. You know, and we have to do it with the spirit of covetousness, where we're greatly lost after one's possession. Now, you envy that brother because you ain't got it, but your neighbors got it, but your friend got it. Now you guys are enemies. You guys don't talk, keeping malice, hatred in your heart for no reason. And Yahushua said, if one hated his brother for no reason, you're a murderer. Because when hatred is conceived in the heart, when you have that thought, you can do and undo. Even to the point of taking one's life. And that's the reason why we must not lust after one's possession. You know, this is one thing that we are all a victim of, and we all need to repent. Oh, that brother have this. Oh, that sister have this. I want to be like that brother. I wish I do have what that brother had. I wish I do have what that sister have. We don't even know how that brother got it. We don't even know how that sister got to where they got to today. We don't know. We just see something and we just lustfully desire after them. What happened to contentment? To be content? What happened to you being satisfied? You being content with what you have? See, and life has actually teach us a lesson. Life has actually teach us a lesson. You know, with such spirit that we possess, envy. Envy. You envy one. Because of what? Because of materialism. Because you don't have what that person do have. Lusting after his possession, after his animals, after his wealth, after his money, as you greatly desire these things. And a lot of people, again, are victim of this. Then you see them, you know, working 2 jobs, 3 jobs, even 4 jobs. This is foolishness. As far as Western world is concerned, just to have what that brother have, because you've lost after it and you wish that, man, I wish this is mine. I'm taking this from another angle. You know, we've talked about you're lusting after one's possession. You lost after one's possession, and which leads you to what? Breaking one's houses and stealing. It can lead to murder, taking him out, or taking that individual out. Which can lead to hatred for no reason. Then you start to inquire all kinds of spirits. You're invoking more spirits into this body. And that's why you can't have control. You've lost control. You cannot control yourself anymore. The spirit has overtaken your body. And you go out there and lead. You go out there now and you lead by example. In wickedness, by taking one's life, robbing the person, attacking the person. Then once you do so, then your eyes just get open. Now you just realize what you just did. Now after the spirits have left you, this is what happens when you don't guard your soul. This is what happens when you don't take the Holy Spirit, you resist the Holy Spirit. Then the spirits of this word will be made manifest. They're looking for you. They are looking for the body that they would dwell, because they have no resting place. They are looking. They are gradually observing. If you open your soul, oh, they're coming in. And it takes the grace of God to deliver you if you've not done any damage. Now you're going to face the law of the land. You know, taking more spirits. Invoking more spirits into your body that you can't even control. You cannot subdue. And that's the reason why they control you. You have no control over the spirit. They are freaking powerful. That once the damage is done, you know, your eyes are open. Then you suddenly just wake up like, whoa, what have I done? Taking more spirits, more powerful than you. The spirits of this word. Now you have other people now again, back to what I was saying, you know, because of that, then they will have to work 2, 3, 4 jobs, breaking all kinds of laws. Imagine you having 4 jobs. How are you going to keep the Shabbat? And if you're married, how are you going to spend time with your family? Your new wedded, you know, a wife of yours that you just got married to, that you're supposed to enjoy, you know, the new marriage in Christ. Now, because of what you saw, as you lost after it, you greatly desire after it, then you want to be like that brother. You want to have what he had. Going out there, doing what you can from a legal standpoint. You don't have time for your kids. You don't have time for your wife. You don't have time for your husband. You're breaking all kinds of laws for the married men and the women. Now, if you're not married, doesn't change anything. Still doing the same thing, breaking God's laws and commandments and statutes and ordinances and judgments. You didn't have time to cook. Now you're going out there buying all kinds of rubbish, inflicting your body with all kinds of what? Unnatural foods, unhealthy foods. Because you don't have time to cook. Now you're going out there eating what you cannot see, what they put in this food. The ingredients that they use to make this food, you cannot see them. You don't know what you're eating. Now you're walking every Shabbat, not being mindful of the commandment, not being mindful that Christ died for these things. You're doing exactly what our ancestors did. Exactly same, exactly the same. And it's not going to die again. It's not going to go back to that cross again. Now you inflict your soul. Even if your conscience is constantly telling you, hey, slow it down. But no, you want to be like that brother. Then you lack sleep. Sleepless nights. You barely stay in your house. But you're paying mortgages. If it's more than one. You don't sleep in that house, but you're paying utility bills. What time do you have to even study the scriptures? You don't even have time to read and to even see what God, what the Heavenly Father himself have in store for us through his word. And how can you be edified when you don't even have time for yourself? Then you don't have time to read and to get understanding and add that to your life. Continue in righteousness as the abundance of wisdom will be given unto you. Then how will God himself, how will the Heavenly Father himself have grace and mercy towards you when you cannot even understand what he wants from us? You're breaking all kinds of laws. The same laws in the book. Because you want to be like that brother. You want to be rich like that brother. You have 3-4 jobs from one to the other, from the other to the other. Day and night. Night and day. Day and night. Night and day. Every day. Then now, physical breakdown. Your body breakdown. Now, you're in a hospital. You're on the sick bed. Begging for your life. Now you're on the sick bed because your body has crashed. The work that you love so much, you know, the money that you're earning so much, to be like that brother now you're going to use the same money to pay your hospital bills. Just because you want to be like that brother. Inflicting yourself with pain. Didn't the scripture says, seek the kingdom of righteousness and everything else will be added unto you? You don't envy others because you don't know the source of their wealth. You don't know the source of their income. You don't know the source of their materialism. And you lust after them. Then you corrupt yourself. We're going to take a 5-minute break and we'll be back in the next 5 minutes. So yeah, as I was saying, so this is what happens, you know, when we envy, when we lost after our neighbor's possessions, you know. And for the married ones out there, if you're a guy, if you want to save your marriage, be content with what you have. It is the Lord that gives increase. You know, just because he's wealthy doesn't mean that you have to be wealthy. You have to take it upon yourself to do everything it takes to be like that brother. Run your race. Be a wise man. Because if not, life itself or life himself will teach you a lesson. If you love your marriage and if you love your kids, if you have, you know, a child or children, raise them. You having 2-3 jobs? What time do you have to raise these children and teach them the, you know, the Heavenly Father's principles? Teach them the way of the Lord so that when they grow up, the seeds that you've sowed in them, the words of life, which is the Bible, would not depart from them. Teach them. But if you don't have time for them, if you're working day in and day out, you clock at 9, you leave 5, and then you're just driving quickly to get to your other job. You leave there, maybe nighttime, you know, as your schedule rotates. What kind of life is that? This is madness. And we all have to repent. We all have to repent. You left your wife at home to take care of the kids. You left your beautiful wife at home instead of you to enjoy this newly marriage of yours. Now she gets angry, she gets bitter, she's complaining, and eventually she leaves. Or another man will come in and take your place. Now, the marriage is broken because of you envying your neighbor. You're lusting after your neighbor's possession, which will lead again into actions. And your actions will be either you take him out, you steal from him, or you just, for no cause, just hate him. One way or the other. Or you take it the legal way. Take it upon yourselves. I'm a macho man. I'll do it. I want to be like him. Apostle Paul explained something in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 9 to 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The same Paul also said, and he told us how to be content with whatever we have. The Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 11. And he said, or he wrote, I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be what? And to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is going to be a short class. We're going to end here. And we're going to continue. From where we'll stop next Shabbat. Lord's willing. This is Truth Radio. For those who don't know, please share this platform. Let your friends, your cousins, you know, your enemies, your nation's politicians, let them know. Subscribe to them. This internet radio station, Truth Radio. And this is your host, Adewale. I greet you all, the repenting of Israel. Likewise, the repenting of the heathens. For those who have come into the faith, into the truth, into the baptism and testimony of the Messiah himself, Yahusha, and his father, Yahweh. Please, for Christ's sake, let us repent from all covetousness. Once again, Shabbat Shalom to the nation of Israel and to the rest of mankind. One love, my people. Peace and blessings be upon you all. Bye.